Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This article is entitled Financial Roundup. Stocks extend gains on Wall Street to a third straight day. Stocks closed broadly higher on Wall Street Tuesday, extending the market's winning streak to a third day. The latest gains, which followed a rally in global stocks, were driven by optimism that the global economy will begin to recover as governments gradually allow businesses that were closed due to the coronavirus outbreak to reopen. The S&P closed 0.8% higher after spending much of the morning wavering. Technology, industrial, and healthcare sector stocks accounted for a big slice of the gains. Energy stocks far outpaced the rest of the market, as the price of crude oil rose again. Bond yields rose, another sign of ebbing pessimism among investors. So far, Wall Street's momentum has not been derailed by the wave of daily unrest across the U.S. that began last week in Minneapolis as a protest over police brutality. Cities across the country have been rocked by violence and destruction for 7 days in a row, drawing threats from the White House to send troops in to put down the unrest. The market action seems to have a lot more to do with people's confidence about the economic reopening, said Tom Hanlon, national investment strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management. It's happening irrespective to what we're seeing socially across the country right now. The S&P 500 gained 25.09 points to 3,080.82. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 267.63 points, or 1.1%, to 25,742.65. The NASDAQ Composite, which is heavily weighted with technology companies, added 56.33 points, or 0.6%, to 9,607.37. The index had been down 0.8% in early going. Smaller company stocks had some of the biggest gains. The Russell 2000 Index picked up 12.84 points, or 0.9%, to 1,418.21. NASA astronauts launched into space by SpaceX on Saturday morning rang the opening bell from the International Space Station early Tuesday to kick off trading on the NASDAQ. Stocks have now recouped most of their losses after the initial economic fallout from the coronavirus knocked the market into a staggering 34% skid in February and March. The S&P 500 is now down 9% from its all-time high in February. Investors are hoping that the worst of the recession has already passed, or will soon, as governments around the country and around the world slowly lift the restrictions that left broad swaths of the U.S. economy at a standstill beginning in March. In Europe, France's CAC 40 jumped 2% Tuesday as the country opened restaurants, cafes, parks, and beaches and helped launch a contact tracing app to help keep tabs on new contagions. Germany's DAX, which had been closed Monday, caught up with previous global markets gains and surged 3.7%. Britain's FTSE 100 added 0.9%. Markets in Asia closed broadly higher.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday, June 3rd. Floyd family joins 60,000 at rally. Dateline Houston. The family of George Floyd, the man whose death in Minneapolis police custody triggered nationwide protests, joined a crowd that city officials estimated at 60,000 demonstrators to rally and march Tuesday in Houston to protest Floyd's death. Floyd, a black man who died after a white officer pressed his knee into Floyd's neck for minutes, even after he stopped moving, grew up in Houston, and a public memorial and burial is planned there for next week. Meanwhile, in Dallas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott said Tuesday that Texas would not request military support after President Donald Trump threatened to deploy troops across the U.S. to confront violence that has erupted in the wake of Floyd's death. Protesters marched from a downtown Houston park to City Hall, where, at a rally that lasted a little over an hour, various local and congressional officials, activists, and members of Floyd's family spoke. Mayor Sylvester Turner told the crowd that the rally and march were about, quote, lifting up the family of George Floyd, end quote. Quote, today we want to love on them. We want them to know that George did not die in vain, he said. Turner said about 16 members of Floyd's family participated in the march and rally. Several members of Floyd's family spoke at the rally, telling protesters of their appreciation for their support and asking them to not be violent in any protests in which they participated. Before the start of the Houston march, Houston rapper Bun B, who organized the event with fellow Houston rapper Trey Toth Truth, told the crowd the march and rally would be peaceful, and he asked the crowd to look out for anybody who could cause trouble. Bun B then led the crowd of at least several thousand on a chant as he said, what's his name? And the crowd replied, George Floyd. Quote, that's right, and don't you ever forget it, end quote. The crowd later got down on one knee and was silent for 30 seconds. Quote, we're here supporting George. We want some peace. We want some change in America. We want some change in the world, said Anthony Blackman. He was on horseback along with about 60 other people from a Houston riding club called Deep in the Street and Always on the Trail. Police officers lined the route of the march and large city dump trucks blocked some downtown streets. In Dallas, a growing number of protesters assembled outside Dallas City Hall to begin another day of protests as Abbott met inside with local officials. One held a sign that read, Protect and Service Too, as the crowd began marching downtown to the chant of No Justice, No Peace. Abbott said he was not asked to send Texas National Guard members to the District of Columbia after days of violent demonstrations there has led to fires, destroyed businesses, and the use of tear gas and flashbangs, including unpeaceful protesters. Other states, including Mississippi and Utah, were sending in more guardsmen to the nation's capital Tuesday. Abbott raised his voice while condemning Floyd's death as a, quote, horrific act of police brutality, end quote, and called Texas a leader in criminal justice reform and mentioned the Sandra Bland Act passed in 2017. The law mandates police de-escalation training and is named after a black woman who died in a Texas jail following a confrontational traffic stop with a white state trooper. Video of the traffic stop and her death stirred national outrage. Abbott did not suggest any changes to Texas policing or laws in the wake of Floyd's death, and Democrats criticized his words as insufficient. More than 3,000 state troopers have been assigned across Texas to bolster local law enforcement amid the protests. Quote, Texas National Guard are here for Texans, and that's exactly what they'll be used for, Abbott said when asked whether guardsmen would be sent to Washington. Since Friday, there have been nearly 880 arrests during protests in Dallas, according to police and the county sheriff's office. Of those, 674 people were arrested Monday during a largely peaceful protest that police ended after the group marched onto a bridge. The protesters in that mass arrest were charged with obstructing a roadway, but released without being sent to jail, police spokesman Tamika Dameron said. City officials expanded the Dallas curfew zone Tuesday to include the bridge where the Monday night mass arrest happened. The curfew, which covers central Dallas and some adjoining neighborhoods, runs from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. No expiration date has been set. 8 patients remain at Medical Center Hospital. The story was written by Michael Merlo. The Ector County Health Department website detailed on Tuesday that there were 43 active positive COVID-19 cases in the county. The ECHD website also detailed that 167 patients have tested positive for the virus and 9 are probable. Out of 2,550 tests, 5 Ector County residents have died and 2,252 people have had negative results. As of Tuesday, 131 people have pending tests. Medical Center Hospital sent out a press release Tuesday detailing that they have had 104 positive COVID-19 patients. 8 COVID-19 patients are in the hospital and 3 are on 7 Central, a designated floor. 2 patients from Focused Care at Odessa Nursing Home are on the designated floor. 5 people are in the critical care unit and 3 of them are on ventilators. Out of 1,359 tested, 1,189 have been negative and 66 tests are pending. Rebecca Reed, a Focused Care representative, said in a text Monday that 4 people from Focused Care at Odessa tested positive for the virus and were all hospitalized. Reed also reported that 3 Focused Care at Crane residents died over the weekend. 5 Focused Care at Crane residents have died in total from COVID-19-related illnesses. On Tuesday, Reed said that nursing home staff has to test negative twice before returning to work, and that she believed, quote, "As far as I know, there is no group testing date or plans to have one," the text detailed. Quote, "I assume moving forward, testing will be dictated either as a result of symptoms or potential exposure," end quote. Reed said she would reach out to the Crane and Odessa nursing homes to clarify information regarding retesting, but she did not hear back from the nursing homes by press time. Assistant Odessa Fire Chief Joey White said in a phone interview Tuesday that Odessa Fire Rescue has no plans to retest local nursing homes, but that they are planning to conduct drive-through tests in different locations around Odessa in the coming weeks. Quote, "It's in the planning stage now," he said, "but since we've got all this stuff and we know how to do it and we're very expeditious at it, we are trying to reach out to these other neighborhoods, lower-income families, or middle to lower-income, and it'll just be a free test. If they drive by and we got the sign-up that says free testing, stop and get tested, give us your information, and then drive on," end quote. COVID-19 news. Ector County confirmed cases, 167. Ector County negative, 2,252 out of 2,550 tested, with 131 pending. 5 deaths. Midland County, 137 confirmed cases, 13 deaths. Texas, 66,568 confirmed cases, with 1,117,274 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,698. U.S. cases, 1,802,470 total confirmed cases, with 105,157 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. March and Rally. In Defense of Black Lives has scheduled a peaceful march and rally from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today at City Hall, 411 West 8th Street. The march starts at 6:20 p.m., and the rally starts about 7 p.m. at OPD. The march will begin at Odessa City Hall and end at OPD. Marchers will gather on the east side of City Hall, nearest the church, march east on 8th Street to Grant Avenue, march south on Grant to OPD. Streets will be blocked to car traffic, and sidewalks will be accessible to those with mobility restrictions. To join the march, park near City Hall, but please leave the City Hall parking lot clear where possible. To join the rally, but not the march, park in the Ector County Courthouse parking lot at 3rd Street and Grant Avenue, or along either street. Please avoid parking in the OPD lot where possible to allow space for the rally. Masks and a peaceful march are encouraged by rally organizers. Reunion. The 2nd Indian Head Division Association is searching for anyone who served in the Army's 2nd Infantry Division at any time. For information about the association and our 99th annual reunion from September 23rd to 27th in Kansas City, Missouri, visit www.2ida.org/99th annual reunion or contact Bob Haynes at 2IDAHQ@comcast.net. Permian Playhouse moves forward with summer camp plans. The story was written by Sam Waller. Despite numerous cutbacks and restrictions brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic, the Permian Playhouse is forging ahead with plans for one of its summer camps. Permian Playhouse will conduct a 4-week camp from June 29th through July 26th for students who have completed kindergarten through 5th grade. Sessions will be 8 a.m. to noon each Monday through Friday, with a performance schedule for a stage version of the Disney animated film The Aristocats still to be determined. Nicole Rougeau Vanderford, president of Permian Playhouse Board of Directors, said it was important that the theater be able to still provide something for the community. Quote, "The whole purpose of a community theater is to bring the theater out to kids," she said. Vanderford said Permian Playhouse planning for the program was underway well before the pandemic and ensuing shutdown were on the horizon. Quote, "We plan our season in October and November," she said. "We have a production committee that takes into account our summer camps," end quote. Restrictions on social gatherings forced the entire schedule of events for June to be canceled. That included a month-long camp for students who have completed 6th through 12th grades that was to stage the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Oklahoma, and a series of week-long camps to introduce younger students to theater. Also canceled was an outreach program in Andrews. Even the camp that is being offered has been pared back. Originally planned as an all-day camp that would produce 2 shows, The Aristocats and 101 Dalmatians, the program has been cut in half and limited to 25 campers. Despite that, Vanderford said, the show will go on. Quote, "We think we can operate," she said. "We have looked at all the guidelines for summer camps. We've looked at guidelines for theaters. We think we can do it. We're always going to be safety conscious, and should we have a flare-up in our community, then we have to be prepared to cancel," end quote. Vanderford said online registration has already exceeded the proposed 25-camper limit, but said nothing is etched in stone just yet. Quote, "We're going to set a deadline of June 15th for those people who have signed up to pay a deposit," she said. Continuing the quote, "If they don't pay the deposit, then we're going to open up those slots. we are more than willing to start a wait list, but it's going to be whoever comes up first will get those empty spots," end quote. While much is still up in the air, Vanderford says Permian Playhouse will proceed as planned unless or until events dictate otherwise. Quote, "We're going to move forward with this current plan with the half-day schedule and 25 campers, only the Aristocats show," she said. "If we have to alternate, we'll alter it, but we're going to try to work within the guidelines that we're presented with," end quote. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Odessa American on Wednesday, June 3rd. Mary Ann Shirley of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, formerly of Odessa, was reunited with our Heavenly Father on Friday, May 29th, after a brief illness. Mary Ann Teague was born to Raymond Wesley and Reba Loreen Teague in Coleman, Texas, on August 6, 1942. Mary Ann grew up attending and graduating from San Angelo, Texas schools, and then moved to Odessa in 1961. Mary Ann married Milton Shirley in February 1972. Mary Ann is survived by her beloved son, Bill Howard, and wife Johnny of Lubbock, Texas, her granddaughter, Brittany Valenzuela, husband Mark, and great-grandsons Bradley and Breton of Artesia, New Mexico, her grandson, Chad Howard, and wife Victoria of Austin, her best friend and sister, June Oker, and husband Kyle of Oklahoma City, grandson Max Strawn of Odessa, nephew Jimmy Ocker of Dallas, niece Alicia Oker of Dodge City, Kansas, niece Deborah Johnson and husband Kirk of Texarkana, Arkansas, and numerous great-nieces and nephews that she loved very much. Mary Ann was preceded in death by her husband, Milton Shirley, her parents, Raymond and Reba Teague, and her sister, Patsy Johnson. A memorial service will be held at Han Cook Street and Draper Funeral Home at 3 p.m. on Friday, June 5th. You may view the service remotely by visiting https://tinyurl.com/HCFHLIVE or by Facebook Live through the Han Cook Street and Draper Funeral Director's Facebook. Thomas Charles Carlyle, age 74, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 31st in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Charles David Charlie Gregg, age 64, of Gardendale, died Saturday, May 30th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 3 p.m. on Friday, June 5th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Father Timothy Hayter is officiating. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors of Odessa. Robert Leslie Rob Harbison, age 64, of Belton, Texas, died Tuesday, May 26th in Round Rock, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. June 6th at the Gabriel's Funeral Chapel and Crematory. Arrangements are by Gabriel's Funeral Chapel and Crematory of Georgetown. Luis Lopez Mendoza, age 58, of Odessa, died Tuesday, June 2nd, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Francisco Corrales Muñiz, age 86, of Midland, died Monday, June 1st, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., June 5th, at Family Services Funeral Parlor in Kermit. Burial will follow at Kermit Cemetery. Arrangements are by Family Services Funeral Parlor of Kermit. Frank Charles Wild, age 86, of Midland, died Sunday, May 31st in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. June 5th at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Health and wellness. MCHD funds clinics for residents with limited resources. Russell Myers, Midland Health. Voting information. Early voting for the Midland County Hospital District sales tax election begins June 29. Election day is set for July 14. Consult the Midland County Elections Office for details on voting locations and schedules. Midland County Hospital District provides more than $40 million per year in support of a wide variety of community health care services beyond the operation of Midland Memorial Hospital. These services are essential to the community's health and for many years have been fully funded by federal Medicaid supplemental payments. These payments are projected to decline by $23 million its fiscal year 2021, with annual cuts reaching $38.4 million by fiscal year 2024. To replace the lost federal funding, MCHD has called for an election on July 14 to levy a tax on the sale of taxable items within the district at a rate not to exceed 0.25%, 0.25% of the sales tax of the taxable item sold anywhere in Midland County. Should voters approve the ballot item, sales tax collections could provide a projected $28 million per year for the hospital district to use for community health care services funding. This is the second in a series of articles featuring vital community health care programs funded by MCHD. Midland Community Health Care Services. Midland Community Health Care Services provides affordable, comprehensive, accessible, culturally appropriate, cost-effective primary health care to the residents of Midland County. As a federally qualified health care center, MCHS provides services to individuals and families with limited resources or other barriers to health care in order to improve overall health status. MCHS operates three clinic locations: Coleman Family Clinic, located at 801 East Florida Avenue in Southeast Midland, offers pediatric and adult primary care, dentistry, and limited mental health services. The Women's Services Clinic, located inside Midland Memorial Hospital, provides obstetrics and gynecology to uninsured and Medicaid patients. The pediatric clinic is our community's biggest provider of care to children covered by Medicaid. Later this year, the expanded pediatric clinic will move from its current home on Delano to better, larger space at Midland Health's West Campus. The hospital district provides $1.7 million in annual financial support to MCHS to maximize their primary care capacity. The supplemental funding helps to support 7 physicians, 2 dentists, and 7 advanced practice providers. MCHS serves approximately 24,000 unique patients and completes more than 60,000 patient visits per year. Without these services, many of their Medicaid and uninsured patients would be unable to get primary care, leading to a likely increase in inappropriate emergency department usage. Russell Myers is president and CEO of Midland Health.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Monday, June 1st, 2020. This is the coronavirus page. This article is titled, 30-somethings Flee Big Cities to Shelter with Mom and Dad, by Sharon Jason, Kaiser Health News. Austin. It took 3 weeks, but Lawrence and Arlene Mays finally persuaded their younger son Gregory of Los Angeles to get on a flight home to Austin. He basically shut his business down to come here and has to restart his business when it's safe, his father said. It was a very difficult decision. Alex Rose, a 33-year-old event producer and recording artist, didn't need much persuasion. She spent a couple of weeks alone in her 500-square-foot Hollywood apartment, taking long walks to break up the days. In mid-March, her event bookings and performances began to disappear. Then a neighbor showed her a video of an arsonist setting trash can fires on their street, and she saw the melted cans next to her building. "All of a sudden, I didn't feel safe anymore," she said. "I didn't feel safe, and frankly, I felt totally alone." The next morning, she and her cat Eloise flew home to Austin to her mother and stepdad. As COVID-19 has ripped through densely populated communities, millennials have fled their own cramped quarters for less congested cities with more room in their parents' homes. They are near family should someone get sick. The familiarity is comforting in an uncertain time. Overwhelmingly, parents and their adult children view the arrangement as temporary. Of course, no one knows how long temporary might last. Lawrence May said he was thinking, the thinking was that Gregory could help him or his wife if they got sick, and they could help him if he did. Also, they believed Austin's healthcare system would be less stressed than LA's. "He's lived on his own now for a very long time," Lawrence said. "It's not like he moved back into his old house. He knows he's living in a guest bedroom." It's a major disruption for young adults who have established their lives thousands of miles from home. They keep paying rent on empty places. They have left behind their routines and social lives. Some have lost their work. Others can work remotely alongside parents who are doing the same. The magnitude of the outbreak has, for a time, reordered American lives. It's fostering unexpected togetherness. Rose's mother, Elizabeth Christian, said her daughter hasn't visited Austin this long since she was in college, and now nobody is rushing off to do anything. "We're having meals together, and we're watching movies at night," she said. Christian and her husband, Bruce Todd, a former Austin mayor, wanted to make sure Rose got back before California wouldn't allow her to leave or Texas wouldn't let her in. Sarah and Ken Frankenfeld had barely moved into their downsized townhome when the coronavirus pandemic brought their 31-year-old son and his girlfriend from New York City to quarantine with them. "I was nervous about how this was going to work," Sarah Frankenfeld said, of their lack of furniture and readiness for house guests. They'd met his girlfriend for one evening a few months earlier. "He hasn't lived here in a while, but it's worked and it's been lovely." Kevin Frankenfeld, who works in digital, social strategy, and marketing, has lived in New York almost 9 years. He and his girlfriend, Maddie Haller, wanted to quarantine together. "In Manhattan or Brooklyn, people are just on top of one another," he said, "so we wanted to get out of town." The shared feeling of lockdown with so much unknown can cause stress and make us feel lonely and anxious, even with others around, said Dr. Vivek Murthy, U.S. Surgeon General from 2014 to 2017. "In this moment, we have no idea when the pandemic will end," he said. "We don't know when our lives will go back to normal." Well before the stay-at-home orders, Murthy recognized Americans' increased loneliness, prompting his new book, Together, The Healing Power of Human Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. Now that many are isolated by themselves, he urges us to step back and take stock of our lives. The silver lining of COVID-19 is that it's given us the opportunity to reset our social lives and remember how essential relationships are to our well-being, he said. Rose is doing her own reset. She's among California's estimated 2 million self-employed. But because of the pandemic, she's applying for a full-time jobs around the country in digital media and project management. "When I left LA, I never expected that I would not go back to that apartment," she said. With her lease up in June, she asked a friend to pack up her place and move everything into storage. Rose and her mother returned late last Sunday from a quick turnaround to California to retrieve Rose's tiny 2016 Fiat 500 that was stranded 6 weeks in a long-term airport parking. Gregory Mays, 33, is a private chef, event caterer, and part owner of a coffee truck business. He moved to LA 5 years ago. "I'm fortunate to have a situation like this, but leaving LA was not on my terms," he said. "It's out of my hands. I really don't know what the landscape is going to look like at the end of this." While some younger adults mock baby boomers with the OK Boomer meme, The pandemic seems to have shifted the tone, at least where parents are concerned. Suzanne and Stuart Newberg's older son, Jared, 27, and his girlfriend, Melissa Asensio, both of Manhattan, arrived March 21st to quarantine together. They bought one-way plane tickets, and we said, "You're welcome as long as you need to be here," Susan Newberg said. Jared and Melissa, who both worked full-time in the New York City offices, now work remotely from Austin. His three roommates left for their hometowns about a week before Jared and Melissa. Her two roommates left New York around the same time. "It was a lot safer and more comfortable to come here," Jared said. "We're super lucky and super fortunate." Back in New York, one of Kevin Frankenfeld's roommates remains in their three-bedroom apartment. The other went home to Boston. Maddie lives in the same neighborhood. Her apartment is empty now. Both Kevin and Maddie work full-time remotely and are glad they're not in the city. "We didn't want to be stuck in a small apartment to isolate in a hotbed," Kevin said. "Here we've got a green area, dishwasher, and laundry." This column is distributed by Tribune Content Agency. This article is entitled "OPEC May Reschedule Meeting for This Week" by Grant Smith, Bloomberg. OPEC Plus is close to a decision to bring forward its meeting by a few days to this week, according to people familiar with the situation. The move, if confirmed, would give the oil cartel more flexibility to change its current production limits. The existing deal, struck in April as energy demand and prices collapsed because of the coronavirus pandemic, calls for curbs to ease from July. But that's up for discussion at the next meeting, which will be held by video conference. OPEC members usually decide their plans for shipping oil to customers for July in the first week of June. So an earlier meeting would give them time to react quickly to the outcome. Algerian Energy Minister Mohamed Arkhab, who holds the rotating presidency, proposed the date of Thursday instead of June 9th to 10th. A final decision is expected on Sunday, according to two delegates. The 23-nation OPEC Plus coalition, led by Saudi Arabia and Russia, is undertaking record oil production cuts to prop up prices. At the meeting, they will decide whether to keep the existing agreement or extend the current curbs. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its partners committed to lowering output by 9.7 million barrels a day, or about 10% of global supply, in May and June. In addition, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates made further voluntary cuts of about 1.2 million barrels a day for June, bringing the total OPEC Plus curbs to almost 11 million barrels a day. Production cuts are meant to be eased to about 7.7 million barrels a day in July. One option the cartel is weighing is delaying the start of the tapering by up to 3 months. Nigeria and the state oil company of Abu Dhabi, the UAE's capital, have already announced plans to increase exports in July, in line with the OPEC Plus deal from April. The OPEC Plus agreement and recovering energy demand in China have helped push up oil prices since late April, but they are still near $35 a barrel, barely half their level at the end of 2019, and far below what most producers need to cover government spending. Moving the gathering would also mean shifting committee meetings that normally take place before a ministerial conference to later in the month. OPEC has an Economic Commission Board meeting scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday, and a joint technical committee to assess implementation of the current supply cuts Friday.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 31st, 2020. Section A. Odessa leaders meet with community for prayer vigil. In response to the recent turmoil around the country, community leaders in Odessa held a prayer vigil at the Ector County Courthouse Friday evening. A few dozen community members and local religious leaders came together with city officials like Odessa Police Chief Mike Gerke. There were prayers and hymns, but mostly it was a time for people to share their thoughts on police community relations in our country and here in Odessa. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I was taught to be careful, one African-American pastor said, because the police would kill me. At 5 or 6 years old, another pastor, Don Weeks of Connection Christian Church, urged fellow white people to actively snuff out racism. To say I'm not racist is to say I'm not a part of the problem, so it's not my problem, Weeks explained. I want to invite you to take a step beyond saying I'm not racist and become an anti-racist. Gerke also shared his thoughts on the current national climate. I saw a meme on Facebook that said, "No one hates a bad cop more than a good cop," the police chief told the crowd. I don't know if I really agree with that, because I think the family members of some of these victims probably hate a bad cop more than a good cop does. But I will tell you, I truly believe the vast majority of law enforcement in these United States absolutely detest a bad cop. Many praised Gerke for taking part in the event. We saw it last night on TV in Midland. They can't even sit down with their chief of police and talk, Joanne Davenport Littleton of the Black Cultural Council said. They can't do it. But I thank God here in Odessa, we can. We can come together. The vigil was organized by Reverend Gene Collins of Highland and Bunch Church of Christ and the Odessa Ministerial Alliance. Moore's Limo Service Plans Graduation Event by Sam Waller. The class of 2020 missed out on many benchmark events thanks to the coronavirus pandemic, wiping out most of the spring schedule for schools across the country. Moore's Limo Service of Odessa is looking to give graduating seniors from Odessa, Midland, and the surrounding area a taste of what's been missed with the Permian Basin 2020 prom graduation reception, scheduled for 8 p.m. June 19th at Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center. The proms of most of the different schools were canceled. The graduations were canceled, Moore's Limo Service owner Isaiah Bradford said. They kind of did a little graduation parade, but everybody was kind of sad at how it went down. We came together as a company to create a prom graduation reception event at a very low cost to the parents and seniors to attend. We got with an outdoor venue, Rolling Sevens, and we're going to combine schools from Odessa and Midland. Basically, we put it together where we have a large enough space at the current occupancy levels allowed to be able to put this together. Bradford said, in addition to following social distancing guidelines, plans are in place to ensure the safety of attendees. This event is going to be a non-return event, he said. Once a student leaves, they're not going to be allowed back in to limit liability. We will have licensed security, about 4 or 5 off-duty police officers to ensure the safety of the people. We will have hand sanitizer, the gloves, the masks for those who want to wear it. It will be a safe event. We're promoting safety. At the same time, we're trying to put this on for the kids who didn't have it. As an additional promotion, Bradford said, Moore's Limo Service is offering a 20% discount for those who book one of the company's vehicles for the event. Bradford said response has been positive so far. Moore's Limo Service has started a Facebook group that has attracted more than 600 members. The theme is Hollywood, the Hollywood glam, he said. It's going to be a red carpet event, so bring you the formal attire. Wear your prom dresses or formal suits, stuff like that. It's not going to be a school thing. It's going to be a senior thing. So leave your school rivalry at the door. In addition to the Facebook group, the company has started a GoFundMe page and is offering sponsorship packages to help finance the event. We created it where we can offer sponsorships and donations to help keep the cost low, Bradford said. It's a nonprofit event. All proceeds go to pay for the cost of production. Anything left over will be put together for door prizes for the seniors. We received our first sponsorship from Hot Shots LLC. They're going to have their banner displayed. We're going to do shout-outs on social media. The DJ will do shout-outs. We're going to do an interview there at the venue with that company. That's basically what we're going to do with other companies that would like to sponsor it. If you go, what? Permian Basin 2020 Prom Graduation Reception. When? 8 p.m. June 19th. Where? Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, 11700 West County Road 122 in Odessa. Who? Juniors and seniors and dates from high schools in Odessa, Midland, and throughout the surrounding area. Cost $7. Information at tinyurl.com/YA4U96T8.
This is the medical advice column to your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, are all puzzles created equal in terms of their value in keeping the mind sharp? I enjoy Sudoku and word-finding puzzles with an occasional crossword puzzle thrown in. I also play games requiring puzzle solving on my computer or handheld device. My partner primarily enjoys crossword puzzles. This has been something I've wondered about for a while, but in this day of health crisis, with more people engaging in puzzle solving, I thought I would ask. Answer. Puzzles are fun and keep the mind active, although there is no evidence supporting the idea that doing puzzles of any kind can prevent Alzheimer's dementia. There is strong evidence that interventions and action done to improve a certain problem, taken targeting specific cognitive abilities, can lead to long-lasting improvements in those abilities. A particularly well-done trial showed that interventions designed to improve performance in three areas, memory, reasoning, and speed of processing, improved function in that specific area for 5 years. In the published study, the interventions were intensive. However, I think it's reasonable to extrapolate that different types of puzzles are likely to have their own individual benefits. So, Sudoku or other number puzzles are likely to have separate benefits from crosswords. I would recommend doing multiple types of cognitive games and puzzles to keep your mind sharp. I should note that regular physical activity has strong evidence to support it as a means of preventing or delaying Alzheimer's, and a healthy diet probably has benefit as well. Adding all together is best.
Dear Abby, changing identities bring up questions of proper etiquette. Dear Abby, my 13-year-old son and I recently had a discussion that maybe you can help clarify. We are seeing more about trans people these days, and I'm not sure how to address them. I don't want to offend anyone, but when you see a large male wearing pants, shirt, etc., but has pink hair and makeup, should I say sir or madam? My son says I should ask what pronoun they would like to be referred by, but I'm not sure that's a polite way to find out. I know this is also intertwined with sexual preference, but it still doesn't mean it is clear-cut. What's the most polite way to handle this? Confused in the South. Dear Confused, you are confusing preference with orientation. Preference implies that one's sexuality is a choice rather than something that is wired into our brains. People do not choose to be gay, straight, or gender dysphoric. Gender identity is about who you are. Sexual orientation is about who you love. As to how you should refer to or address a large male wearing a shirt and pants while sporting pink hair and full makeup, I agree with your son. It makes sense to ask the person who, I'm sure, is fully aware that their appearance is different. Asking the person's name may also provide a clue. Dear Abby, all my life I have followed orders. I haven't been able to determine my own path. When I was young, I did what my mother told me. When I was old enough, I joined the Marines, and I did as they said. After I separated from the service, I did what my social group expected. After I had a child, I did what a parent should do to protect and provide. That took the next 35 years of my life. I'm 60 now, retired, and the master of my ship. Without orders, I don't know where to go from here, and I'm adrift. They say find a passion, do what makes you happy. But I am not passionate about anything. I like many things, but I feel no passion. Being alive makes me truly happy. I love every day God gives me. But what to do with these days eludes me. What should I do? Can you help me? Following orders in the East. Dear following, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you lived and lived well. Perhaps if you concentrate more on doing just one thing a day for someone else, you will discover the passion you are looking for. I can't promise it will work, but it may be a step in the right direction. Dear Abby, I live in New England, where it is very gray during the winter. I was inspired by the bright colors of a local Mexican restaurant to redecorate my house. I feel happier with all the lovely colors, but my neighbors feel I am being culturally insensitive because I'm not Mexican. I disagree. I think I'm being appreciative. What do you think? Appreciating in New England. Dear Appreciating, I'm glad you asked. I think you have certain neighbors who should mind their own business and keep their criticism to themselves. I also think that you adopted the color scheme you did as a compliment. Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Gemini and a moon in Scorpio. Happy birthday for Wednesday, June 3, 2020. Expressive and witty, you may be driven to extreme feelings this year, as self-isolating is your worst nightmare. And yet, you still manage to do excellent work and receive accolades. You still are the main breadwinner. If single, you will become attached after the summer. If attached, your union is solid, and all you have to watch out for is your hot temper. You both have fun debating. Aries is easily inflamed. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Inspirational ideas about your career path set you apart from the crowd at work. Do not be upset, though, if others have trouble truly understanding you. Be very honest. Ask questions and do research to resolve confusion. Tonight, be adventurous in meeting transportation needs. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 2 stars. There may be some tensions to resolve with a close associate. If you overcome your famous stubbornness, a satisfactory compromise develops. Discuss financial partnerships. Often, you will manage the finances when involved in a close relationship. Tonight, intimate date night. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 3 stars. The focus is on your health today. Remember that stress can play a role in how you feel. Diet is a factor too. Construct a ritual for self-healing. Be patient with yourself about reaching fitness goals now. Tonight, gentle and steady does it. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 5 stars. Relationships with children assume a new dimension, and you will express true love in new ways. Welcome a change of heart today. There will be less competition, less of a need to feel vindicated. Tonight, your natural effervescence shines, overall brightness of outlook. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Today, there is a focus on your domestic environment. You talk more with family members and acquire a better understanding of their growth and needs. Be receptive to changing home and family dynamics. Tonight, you redecorate your home and surroundings. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 4 stars. A sibling or neighbor could grow closer. It is easy to get distracted today, but ignore cross currents and interference and focus on your true heart's desire. A problem that has been brewing is aired openly. Tonight brings healing and creative solutions. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 4 stars. With the scales of justice as your emblem, you are very ethical in business practices. Avoid arguments or excessive stress connected to money today. Rise to other new challenges. You are the center of attention now. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Your great passions for everything from love to work to social concerns will be expressed dramatically. Your capacity for effective action can astound and amaze others. Today is about the proper use of this power. Tonight, you are driven to explore new planes of expression. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Seclusion can help you heal and get centered today. You will experience a sense of aloneness that will not be negative. Appreciate the advantages of privacy and cherish the quiet times. Tonight, charitable acts and kindness you perform warm you with an inner glow. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Your social circle and leisure pursuits are undergoing a catharsis, but the result is positive, bringing new loves and friendships. Renew professional contacts and update old applications. A second opinion helps solve any problems. Tonight, a serious practicality helps you. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. A second or third attempt at reaching any goal is likely to work out. Be persistent. Try not to veer away from long-range goals now. You develop a deeper understanding of ongoing conditions within organizations. Tonight, events are unfolding that change your attitude. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Daydreams are vivid. Faraway places and foreign people turn your thoughts away from the familiar. You might explore new philosophies or be profoundly affected by spiritual awakenings. Communication is delicate. Tonight, a relative may be cultivating a new social circle. Born today, dancer Josephine Baker, 1906, poet Allen Ginsberg, 1926, broadcast journalist Anderson Cooper, 1967.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.